And so I asked this lady, if you were in my shoes again, if you were in my spot, if you could go back, what's one thing, you know, that you would do differently, or what's one piece of advice that you have for me? And I'll never forget this moment. I remember I wrote it down in my journal after, but she looked at me and she said, "Talon, magic only happens when you're not in a hurry." What's up, everybody? Welcome back to episode 2 of Conscious Rebel. Thanks for tuning in to episode 1. And if you haven't, go listen to that. And if you have time, please leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It helps to just boost that to the top so more people can hear this. But with that being said, let's dive right into this. Now, in late 2019, early 2020, I did an unplanned experiment where I lived with the homeless for 50 days. It was technically like 48, but we'll say about 50 days. Now, there's a whole backstory to this, and I've written certain blog posts on this, but in season 3, I will be doing a full episode on my experience of living with the homeless, literally living out on the streets with the homeless for 50 days, and kind of my motives behind that, why I did that, and all of that will go into another episode. But for today, flashback to that time of living with the homeless. I was probably about, at this point, almost a month into it. I had started up in just on the border of Oregon and Northern California, and I was hitchhiking my way all the way down. Now, hitchhiking in conception sounds fairly easy. You throw up your hand, someone picks you up, you go as far as you can, and you keep on moving. And that is how it works in theory. But as you start to really get into it, you recognize and realize how inconsistent hitchhiking actually is. And it took me so long to cover such little ground. So by the time I got down to this city called, not Denpasar, I'm thinking of Bali. It was called, oh my goodness, what is that city called? I should have had this prepared. Wait, be patient with me. I have to look this up. Okay, I might have to edit this part out as I kind of look for this city because this is going to bother me. And I should know what this is called. Dunsmuir. Okay. So I had gotten down to Dunsmuir, and you can kind of look this up on the map just for reference, but I had been living up in Mount Shasta for quite a while, and now I was making my way down. I got to Dunsmuir, and then from there I caught a couple more rides, but it was really, really tricky to really cover ground. Like it was going to take me forever to really get down to Southern California, which is what I was shooting for, which was, you know, over 1,300 miles away. So it was still quite a bit of a journey. So as I started to really look into it and do some research and talk to other people, I all of a sudden found out that there was a train that went all the way down to Southern California, or at least to parts before that, and that was the Amtrak. Before this, I was completely unfamiliar with the Amtrak. Now, in relation to my experience with the homeless, literally just before this, the funds that I did have, I had donated to a monastic monastery. And so I really had nothing with me. This is what really made the experience with the homeless so visceral and so real. So I didn't have any money to be able to buy a ticket for the Amtrak. If I remember correctly, to go the full distance, it was like $80, $100, something like that. But I didn't have that. And so I remember actually kind of sneaking past a few of the guards there, and they had maybe 2 cops on patrol at the station there, and ended up getting onto the Amtrak train. Well, there's a whole nother story to this of things that happened on there, but fast forward, I ended up actually getting into the front of the Amtrak train, and at the front part, there is like a dining area to where people can buy a higher end ticket to where it comes with, you know, meals, breakfast, lunch, dinner, because people are on the train all day if they're traveling long distances. And so there's kind of like this part that has these booth areas to where if you have a ticket, it's almost like a VIP entrance. And there you have comfort seating, you have more privacy, and again, you're fed meals. Well, at this point, I think it had been at least 48 hours since I had really like a substantial meal, because again, I didn't have anything. I think when people hear me say I lived with the homeless, they don't quite know what that means or believe me, but I literally stepped in the shoes of what it was like to be homeless. So I didn't have anything. So as I got onto this train and made my way forward, by just divine timing, I started talking to this old lady who was there. And as we got into conversation, she must have just, you know, vibed with the convo. And she said, you know, where are you sitting? Like, we actually have an extra ticket. The booth was for four people, and there's just three of us. I can't remember if the other friend couldn't come or something. And she's old. She's in like her 70s. And so I ended up going with her because I had no ticket. And so she led me all the way up to the front of the train and brought me into this VIP section, where I then sat down with two other older women. They were probably late 60s, early 70s. And I was then fed one of the best meals I had had in a long time. And I sat there in this booth with these three older women for the next, I think it was about 7 hours, as we rode kind of down, not all the way to Southern California, but we had covered quite a bit of ground. We actually made it down to Redding, California, which is still northern part, but covered way more ground than I could have hitchhiking. So during this 7 hours that I had with these older women, number one, I was just filled with gratitude that I was even able to be in this spot. And that was the beauty of this journey, this experiment of living with the homeless, is that I was completely relying upon just the whims of the universe and wherever it led me. And so as I'm sitting here and we kind of started to get into conversation of why I was there, why they were there, as we got hours into this and more familiar with one another, I remember we got to one of the stops where the lady was going to be getting off. And one of the things that I asked people when I was, you know, making my journey down south with the homeless was I was really trying to collect as much wisdom as I could. Like, quite frankly, looking back, I literally can't believe I lived with the homeless. Like, it's actually pretty insane. But there was something deep within me that was craving wisdom. Not just knowledge from social media, not just advice from people telling me what to do, but I was craving, like, out in the real world, people who had gone through real life, who had really been leveled by life, people who had had all these insane experiences, people who had come from different diverse backgrounds. And I found that as I was living out with the homeless, because I met so many different people, and it was just, it satiated that need that I had to really connect with human beings on a fundamental level. There, like, once you get out there on the streets, there's no mask. There's no facade people are putting up. It's what you see is what you get, and much more. And so one of the questions that I would always ask people was, you know, if you were in your 20s again, like I am now, what is one thing that, you know, you would do differently? Or what is one thing that you wish you would have done? Because I was really trying to glean as much wisdom as I possibly could. And I think, little did I know at the time, I was on this search for understanding life on a much deeper level, past just the social programmings, past just the career choices in the marriage and do this and do that, and here's how you operate, here's how you behave, and then you move your way up the ladder. That whole concept hasn't resonated with me for quite a while in my life. It's never really made sense to me. It has seemed so just one size fits all. And so that was the deep craving for me, was to get a deeper look at a different way of living life. And so I asked this lady as she was getting off, you know, if you were in my shoes again, if you were in my spot, if you could go back, what's one thing, you know, that you would do differently, or what's one piece of advice that you have for me? And I'll never forget this moment. I remember I wrote it down in my journal after, but she looked at me and she said, "Talon, magic only happens when you're not in a hurry." And I've never forgotten that, because when I was in this conversation with these older women, they were so sweet, and they had lived rough lives, but they were in their 70s now. So they had a lot of life experience behind them. Their skin was wrinkled and weathered. They had been through quite a few rough relationships. They had lived around the world. And so when she said that to me, there was something about it that was so simple and yet so powerful. Magic only happens when you're not in a hurry. The topic for today's episode is exactly that. It's about being able to really slow down and become aware of what's important in life right now. In episode one, I talked about how we need to go slow to go fast. And this, you know, disclaimer right off the bat, this episode is not going to be for everyone. You have to really tune in to see what is the rhythm of your life and where are you at right now. For a lot of you, you need to get up off the couch and you need to have the courage to face your fears and get out in the world. For some of you, you may need to go faster. You may need to do more. You may need to lean more into that masculine energy and start to really, you know, face your fears and see what you are capable of and really go out in the world and get what you want. And for others of you, you may be at a season in your life where that's what you have been doing, and you still have this sense of emptiness. And I would say actually this is most people that I encounter, but we have to start to learn, you know, what really is our path. There is so much noise in the world, and this has taken me so many years to even recognize. And I would say this was part of the motive of even beginning season three of Conscious Rebel, was that I couldn't even wrap my head around what I really felt like I needed to talk about and what this season would be about until I found that silence, until I slowed down, and until I got really, really clear with what my path really is. This whole entire, you know, season of Conscious Rebel is simply just my experiments of what I have been working on behind the scenes, and I'm sharing what I have learned thus far. In this episode today, it's about your new best friends in 2023, which is space, silence, and presence. And we live in such a hustle culture right now where it's, you have to do more, right? You need to exercise more. You need to make more money. You need to double your income. You need to have that, you know, power relationship and date that best person. You need to be able to be in the best shape of your life. You need to be able to have a house and own it and be able to build your real estate portfolio. And then, like, I could go on and on and on. We live in a culture of more, and I'm not dogging on that. It has its place. We, as, you know, spiritual beings, we are here to expand. We are here to progress. That is why we are here. So a lot of that is about expansion, and it's about reaching those upper echelons, not for the fact of just achieving that outcome or that goal of what we want, but to actually push ourselves and to see what we are capable of. All of that is necessary. But in my workings the past few years with myself and with other people and just things that I have observed, I have found that there is definitely a point you hit of limiting returns, to where although you're doing more and more and more, you're not actually getting the internal results that you want. Because if we really look at the psychology behind achievement and why we want more, 100% of the time, we're trying to satisfy actually an emotional need. Because why do you hop into a relationship? Why do you want to date that person or be with this person? For most people, it's so that they're not alone. They crave companionship. They crave that love. They crave connection. For most people that want to make more money, they actually crave safety. They crave stability. They crave freedom to be able to do what they want. And so all of these things, these outcomes, these goals that we're setting, it's actually to fulfill an emotional need. So if we put the goals aside for a second and look at the underlying emotions and motives that are driving us, we begin to recognize that we actually don't need the end goal to fulfill that emotional need, because it's an emotion. It's a state of being. So what if we could harness and activate that emotion before we even achieve that thing? Is it possible to achieve that now? Is it possible to, without the relationship, develop connection, develop love, without, you know, making $50 million a year that people tell you you need to make, and nothing wrong with that, but without that pressure of that expectation, can you still achieve that stability and that security in your life? Because then here's the drawback to it, and here's the exchange, is that if you can't, and then you do reach your monetary goal for this example, then you still won't feel safe. You get into that relationship and you're with that dream companion, and you know, she's so beautiful and it's the greatest thing ever, and then all of a sudden 6 months in and you still feel lonely. You don't feel connected. We see this all the time. This isn't rare. This is actually continuous. And we keep asking ourselves, well, if I just achieved the thing that I was always striving to achieve and now I have it, and it's not what I thought it was, then there's a disconnect there. And we have to start to ask ourselves, what is that? And it's because at the very underlying foundation, at the root, we are craving ourselves. We're craving those emotional needs, that connection, that safety, that stability, which doesn't come from anything material or external. So the very first step in really living a life of fulfillment, and Tony Robbins says it best. He says you have to be able to combine the science of achievement, which is those things, with the art of fulfillment. And so many people, he says the majority of clients that he has worked with who are billionaires and multimillionaires are completely depressed and unhappy. And it's not because of the money. I don't believe that money is the root of all evil, but it is because they have mastered the science of achievement, but they have not even entertained or nurtured the art of fulfillment. And the art of fulfillment, there's no recipe for it. There's no structure. It's completely individualistic. It's completely custom for each person, which means that you're going to have to go on to into an inner journey to discover what is it that really fulfills you. But through everything that I have seen, there is one common starting point of where you begin to really figure out what fulfills you in life. And that is silence. It's silence. It's space, and it's being present. Those three ingredients are the master ingredients that I have found consistently throughout life that are the starting point to really figuring out what is your path, because everyone has a different path. So I want to go over three parts of these things that are really important and that we need to start asking ourselves in our life of what we're really shooting for. And then we'll end off with five examples that I'll show you of how really slowing down and creating more space in your life ends up producing actually more results. Now, the three different parts that we're going to break this down into is intentionality, quality, and sustainability. Now, I have to start this off with an example of this. The past 3 to 4 months, because again, everything that I share isn't something I pulled from like an article. It's really things that I have been experimenting with. I am just a deeply curious person. And so things do not work for me, and I don't really take them for face value unless I've tried them for myself. Because again, I've seen that every single person is different. You have to really know yourself. Now, the past 3 to 4 months, I completely got off social media. It wasn't really planned. It just, as time went on, I hit a point in like November where I felt like externally I was doing everything I needed to be doing, but I just felt so disoriented. I felt so confused and not even unfulfilled, just really confused. Like things were not properly aligning. And one day I had the realization as I was scrolling on TikTok and I was listening to a video, I think it was by like Alex Hormozi or something, giving, you know, all this advice that was great advice, wonderful advice. But it kind of hit me in that moment of like, oh my gosh, I am so inundated with advice. I'm literally drowning in advice, which, by the way, none of the advice is the same. It's all completely different, of different methods and tactics and techniques and protocols to do better, to be better, to live better. Like, it was just so much information that I was drowning in it. And so much so that it was pulling me in, you know, 25 different directions. And I'd start to go one way and make it 5 feet down the path, but then I'd hear another piece of advice that kind of contradicted. So then I'd backtrack and go down this new path, but then, oh wait, another piece of advice that had this scientific evidence behind it. So then I'd go down this path and I wasn't getting anywhere. My energy and my attention was so split and fractaled in so many different directions that I was literally stagnant and drowning in information. And that was when I realized, dude, I have to get rid of this noise. Like, I can't do this anymore. There's way too much noise. I'm drowning in it. I don't even know what is right. And I don't even know these people. Like, I'm investing so much of my attention, which is your power. It's the only thing you have, your attention. I'm investing literally all of my attention in this invisible virtual world, which is irrelevant. I don't know these people. I've never met these people. I most likely never will. They don't know me. They don't care about my life. And here I am giving them so much attention. And it's just drowning me. So I made a pact that week and I was like, I have to get off. Like, I'm done with this. So I deleted the apps. I put them to the side. And I began the journey of starting to learn how to be present, because I didn't know what that was. And if you're listening to this and you do know how to be present, like, great for you. It's such a beautiful skill to be able to harbor and have. But if you don't know how to be present, then welcome, because I didn't either. Like, this was all new to me. And it wasn't only new, but I didn't even realize I wasn't being present. Like, I didn't even recognize it. I had no clue. I was not even aware of it. And I would be in conversations with people, but I wasn't there. Like, I was making eye contact. I was listening, but with maybe like 30% attention. The rest was literally in the ether. It was in the virtual world. I was thinking about things I had to do, my checklist, my to-do list, things, you know, that I hadn't done, things I needed to improve. Like, it was becoming obsessive, like, of just constantly hyper analyzing my life and everything in it. And I was everywhere but here. I was thinking of everything but like in the here and the now. So the first step was getting off social media, eliminating all that noise and all that advice, and being like, okay, you know what, I set a goal for me for 3 months so I didn't have a freaking panic attack. And I was like, I'm just going to set a goal for 3 months. And in this 3 months, I am going to give myself permission to just let go of all expectations. And that just immediate feeling of anxiety came up of like, ooh, but you'll fall behind. Like, 3 months is a long time. Like, are you sure you want to do this? That doesn't sound very productive. Like, oof, think of all the other people. Think of, you know, the money you could be making or the businesses you could be starting or the places you could be going. Like, it was just insane. Immediately that voice came up. My mind, right? That's the ego. It's just trying to keep you safe. The whole entire role of the ego is to keep you safe. But the ego actually isn't real. It's illusory. It's just a concept. And its whole entire job is to keep you safe. And to keep you safe, it has to be able to predict the future. So it takes literally the history of your past. It creates an algorithm. And from that, it then projects into the future of what will happen. And that then plays on repeat, which we call programs. Those programs then are run and stabilized by beliefs. And then the ego then searches out evidence for those programs to be true. This is how the ego operates. And so immediately my ego comes up and it's like, oof, 3 months, that's a long time. Like, are you sure you want to do this? And it was me learning, number one, to be able to not ignore the ego, right? And not feed the ego, not judge the ego, but just embrace it, observe it, and just be like, that's an interesting thought. Yeah. You know, that's an interesting perspective. Sure, 3 months could be a long time, but is it? You know, and just really observing that and letting it come in and not pushing it out and just making space for it. And I just sat with it. I didn't act upon it. I just let the ego come up. I let the voices run in my mind, but I stuck to it. 3 months, this is what I'm going to do. Not going to be on social media. I'm not going to listen to other people's advice. I'm going to literally let go of expectations of all the things that I have to do. Like, we're in such a rush. We need to hit all these milestones. We're so urgent. We have like these quarterly goals and then these yearly goals. And then we need to do this. And if we don't do this, then we'll fall behind. And it's like, fall behind according to what? Fall behind according to who? These are all made up constructs that we pull in from society. And society is what feeds this narrative, and this narrative continues to play in our mind. So I had to be able to suffocate the root of that narrative, which was society. It was social media. It was all these things around. And I'm not saying social media is toxic or negative. It's neutral. Yeah, it's not bad nor good. It's neutral, and you get to then be able to deploy it how you want. And it simply amplifies what's within you. So I decided on this 3 month schedule and let go of all expectations. And I began the process of trying to learn, okay, how do I really become present? It was so elementary, but it really was that first question of like, what does this mean? How do I really become present in my life and like be here now? And that started the journey of coming really into contact of what it means to be present and the power of creating space in your life to be able to then sit in that silence. And from that then comes these three different parts of this, which is intentionality, quality, and sustainability. So let's start with the first one, intentionality. When we focus on speed, we may, you know, blindly follow a path that may not be the most efficient one to reach our goals. So whether it's a path dictated by others or one that seems obvious, without the intentionality, we're just embarking upon a path. And this can be, you know, one of the distractions of giving advice from other people. And whether that's through social media or whether that's through parents or friends or family, it doesn't really matter. Even mentors, we have to be really cognizant of the advice that we're getting because your path is unique to you and to no one else. So intentionality is about getting clear on what is your path, like yours, not what everybody else says you should do. But what is your path? Because think about this for a second. Like for those that are really driven by productivity, or for those that think they're not enough, or for those that feel like they need to do more, which is a lot of people, probably the majority of people listening to this, think of all the different paths that are available in this life. I remember driving the other day and seeing a billboard of, I think her name's Jane, right? The lady that lived like basically with gorillas in nature, and she like communicated with these animals, and she was like a sweet, compassionate individual. Like that was her life. You have people that study rocks for a living, right? You have people that study data analytics. You have all these successful people, yes, that we see on social media that are on the rise, that are TikTok influencers, that make millions of dollars. And then you have the complete other side. You have people in Bosnia running a bread bakery. You have people that are that specialize in locomotives. You have, you know, people that are dog food tasters, like literally to produce products for dog food. You literally have people that are marine biologists that spend their lives in the ocean. That I'm just painting a picture for you to see that we become so myopic when it comes to living our life because the narrative in our mind is then changed according to what we see and what we're exposed to, typically on social media. And so this exposure is really, really key. This is why travel I'm such an advocate for, because it increases your exposure. You're exposed to more things, which then expands your scope of the world and what you're able to do. And so when we pull out of the narrative of what we feel we have to do, we then release that pressure and those unnecessary expectations. So coming back to intentionality, slowing down allows us to be more intentional when making decisions and also executing on your plans. But before you can do any of that, you have to really get clear on what do you want? What really is your life path? What are you here for? And the only way that you can discover these things is by really pausing, by getting rid of the advice, the noise for a second, and going inwards and starting to listen to your own intuition. In order to really change direction and know what is best for you, you have to pause. You have to slow down. And once you slow down enough to get clarity on your life of exactly what you want and where you need to be, you then quantum leap into that path because it's aligned to you. So there's no resistance. So you end up going 10 times faster. You have 10 times more energy because it's aligned to your soul. And so in the long run, even though you end up taking a pause, even though I ended up going 3 months off social media, not worrying about achieving anything, no expectations, because you set that foundation that's aligned with who you really are, you end up quantum leaping forward and going faster. This is what it means to slow down, to go fast. We are slowing down to get back in alignment with who we really are. That's intentionality. The second avenue to this is quality. We live in a world, again, of hustle culture, but of volume. It's about more, more, more. The algorithms right now push more, more, more. It's about doing more. And so over time, we tend to compromise on quality if we can simply just achieve quantity. And there are areas where quantity, I actually think, does supersede quality in some aspects for sure, especially when you're starting out. It is about getting the reps. It is about getting the volume. But when you're really trying to pinpoint and create fulfillment in your life in what is custom to you, it's about quality. Being fast, yes, allows us to do more, but doing more does not always equal doing what's best. Doing things slower oftentimes means we can increase the quality of the output because we're really clear on what we want. And then the third part to this is sustainability. This is a big one that I've really been thinking about. And I don't know why this is on my mind, but I'm becoming more and more obsessed with the idea of sustainability. Not just sustainability in the world, but sustainability within ourselves. Because I'm really realizing that if we can't achieve sustainability, then what are we really building? And if the thing we're building and creating isn't sustainable, then it seems to me like it's not the purest source. because something that is at the very purest source is going to be sustainable. But there's so many imitations in the world and knockoffs that aren't sustainable, and we get pulled into those traps. Whether this is with food, whether this is with careers, whether this is with learning, whether this is with relationships, we need to become aware of the traps that are out there, of the quote unquote get rich quick schemes, which are in every industry, that aren't sustainable. And I think this is also part of why we're having so many issues in society right now and with humanity, because we have compromised on the quality and the intentionality. And because we've compromised on those two things, we then have given up sustainability, because you can't have sustainability without the quality and without the intentionality. And so consistent effort over time is more sustainable than pushing your limits to work as fast as possible. Sustainability is about getting real clear with what matters and what's going to last. It's getting real clear about doing your best work and needing that space for self-reflection to be able to really innovate and pull from your soul of what you want to put out in this world. And these things that I'm talking about, intentionality, quality, and sustainability, these can be applied to anything in life. These can be applied to your career. This can be applied to your relationship. This can be applied to your personal journey that you're embarking upon, because they are the fundamentals. This is the foundation of what we're creating. And when we start to slow down, when you start to find that silence and create that space and be more present, you're then going to become much more aware of these three different avenues. Now, with that being said, when it comes to discovering silence in your life and creating that space, it is very intentional. It's not going to happen by accident. I can promise you that. That is why people aren't fulfilled in this world, because they're constantly caught up in the current of the trends of the world, which is to do more. It is to produce more. It is to go faster. It is to keep up. It is to compete. That is the world that we live in. And so it is your responsibility to be able to become aware of that and know your own personal needs. And if you're struggling with fulfillment in your life, because again, this won't be for everyone. Everyone is at a different timing and rhythm in their life. Everyone is in a different season. While you may be in the winter of your life, others may be in summer. And you have to be cognizant of that. And that's why advice can be really dangerous, because someone may be giving you advice when they're in the summer season of their life, but you're in winter and it just doesn't match up. It doesn't align. It's not going to help you. It's not going to be beneficial. So to wrap up, because we could go into this many, many layers deep, but I want to finish off with just going through a few different avenues of life that are practical and different examples of how you can slow down to go fast. The first one is food. This is single-handedly the biggest thing that has changed my life in the last 6 months. I am literally a different person because of food, and not just because of the type of food that I have put in my body, but because of the way that I have prepared food. So with food, you think about this. Numerous studies have been produced and shown that the speed at which you eat is linked to obesity. The faster you eat, the harder it is to digest. And on top of that, it takes your brain about 20 minutes to even register that you are full. So if you're eating faster, you do not know that you are full, you overeat, and then this adds to weight gain along with many other dysfunctions that come with the body. There's actually a technique in Japan, I believe it is, called harahachi, which basically translates to eat until your belly is 80% full. And this is why the people in Japan are so petite, because of this fundamental, you know, acceptance of food and not eating to like over capacity of the body. And in Japan, they are so present with their mind, with their meditations, with the way in which they do life. Just study the Japanese culture and look at the way that they operate. It is very much about mindfulness and speed. And being present is massive for them. So when it comes to food, it's not just about healthy eating, it's being able to slow down. It's being able to be mindful when you prepare your food. When I lived with the monks, the meals were the coolest part of the whole experience there because we would eat in silence and it would take like 15, 20 minutes as we would wait for all the food to be passed to everybody. You would sit there in silence and wait. And then you would look at your food and you would connect with your food and you would thank it and you would literally talk to your food and you would thank your food for giving you energy. And then you would slowly start to eat in silence. It was so meditative. It was so mindful. And thinking back to that, it was so apparent at why we were able to achieve those deeper states of joy and fulfillment. It wasn't just meditation. It was everything that we did. Everything was slowed down to such a slow pace that you ended up opening up more of life, if that makes sense. You ended up going deeper and deeper into the details of life and being so present. It was almost as if time slowed down and you were able to then get more from life. That's the power of slowing down. The second thing is communication. And going back to food, think of the fast food culture. Wonder why that came about. Go down that rabbit hole. So communication. When we are with people, we're so used to easy communication and fast communication through text, through Telegram, through messages, that we often forget the whole entire purpose of communication. The purpose of communication isn't just to exchange things so that we can then move on and be able to achieve things. It's to be able to connect. It's to be able to really sit there with people and look at them in the eyes and just listen and have like not have a need to be anywhere else but there in the conversation. So as you start to slow down, as you begin to find more silence and steadiness in your life, your communication actually improves because you're actually there with the person and you're deeply, deeply listening. The third example is exercise. We've also become obsessed with high intensity exercise. You know, it's kind of the craze of just moving faster, doing more, lifting more. But if you actually look at studies, it's a lot of the low impact, you know, activities such as yoga, such as going on a walk every day. It's these things that actually that are just as effective of high intensity work and tend to actually ground you more and bring you back into your body. So even with an exercise, slowing down is just as effective and ends up quantum leaping you forth in the realm of health for your own body. The next one is social media. I've talked about this a lot, so I'm not going to harp on this. And again, I like social media. I'm not against it, but I do want to bring awareness to the fact that it is pulling your attention away. So be very careful of what your mind is being exposed to and the pace at which you're being exposed to. Going off social media was absolutely life-changing for me. And the last thing is routines. I have found that from a practical standpoint, in order to be fully, fully present, you need routines. Routines help you to lock you in the now moment, but then they're consistent time over time. You already know what's going to happen. You know you have a nightly routine. You know you're going to do your skincare or whatever it is you have in your nightly routine, so you don't plan anything else. There's nowhere else you need to be other than in that moment doing your routine. Routines help you to ground and to become more present. So adopt a routine that works for you. And we'll do more episodes about this, but adopt a morning routine, adopt a nightly routine, and have consistent markers every single day that you can look forward to that allow you to fully be present and just let go because you know that you've set aside the time for that. That's the power of routines. So wrapping up, I hope that there's been some effective things in this episode. The main thing I want to get across is that we need to slow down. It's not always about going fast. Yes, when you go fast, you achieve and you do a lot more. But quite frankly, if you look at society, I don't think that's what we need right now. I don't think we need more. I think we need less. I don't think we need more noise. I think we need more silence. I don't think we need more acquaintances and more networking. I think we need deeper connection and deeper connection with others and deeper connection with ourselves. I think we all need to slow down a little bit. I think we need to take a few breaths. I think we need to create more space because we're suffocating and we're so compact in our lives. I think we need to find more silence because we're drowning in the noise. And I think we need to be more present because we're so disconnected. And I promise you, if you can become best friends with these three things, space, silence, and presence, as you start to dive in these, you start to become more aware of the intentionality, the quality, and the sustainability of your life is going to change. I promise you that. Take care, everybody. Peace.